2 Kings chapter 4, we'll be reading verses 31 through 35. I'll read those even verses, if you'll join me on the two evens, 32 and 34 this morning. And once you've found that, if you'll please stand for the reading of God's Word, 2 Kings chapter 4, beginning verse number 31. And Gehazi passed on before them and laid the staff upon the face of the child, but there was neither voice nor hearing. Wherefore he went again to meet him, and told him, saying, The child is not awaked. And when Elisha was come into the house, behold, the child was dead, and laid upon his bed. He went in therefore, and shut the door upon them twain, and prayed unto the Lord. And he went up, and lay upon the child, and put his mouth upon his mouth, and his eyes upon his eyes, and his hands upon his hands, and he stretched himself upon the child, and the flesh of the child waxed warm. Then he returned and walked in the house to and fro, and went up and stretched himself upon him, and the child sneezed seven times, and the child opened his eyes. And let's pray this morning. Again, Father, thank you for the reading of your word. Thank you how I've been able to open up the book this morning, for the weather you provided for us to come this morning. I pray that now that the special prepare hearts for the message, Lord, the man of God, through your word of God, Lord, we listen, have open hearts and ears to what you have for us. In your name we pray. Amen.
The busy streets and sidewalks, they suddenly grew still as a man came through the entrance of the city. As he touched and healed the blind man with a little piece of clay, with trembling lips you could hear the people say, Jesus, Jesus, He is the Son of God. Jesus, Jesus, the precious Son of God. Sweetest Rose of Sharon came to set us free. Jesus, Jesus, He's everything to me. He is all the world to me. There were footprints in the sand along the Sea of Galilee, where thousands came to hear and came to see Him. There He taught of love and kindness, yet He brought a better way. As He spoke, they'd turn and whisper and they'd say. Then the air grew cold and the sky turned black, and they nailed Him to a tree. There He died for every man and every country. But the price He paid and the blood He shed, He is changing lives today. And with joy and praise, you can hear those people say, Jesus, Jesus, He is the Son of God. Jesus, Jesus, the precious Son of God. Sweetest Rose of Sharon came to set us free. Jesus, Jesus, He's everything to me. Yes, He's all the world to me. Yes, He's all the world to me.
The song, Tom, thank you. I want to speak this morning on this subject, when nothing less than total commitment will work. When nothing less than total commitment will work. I will preach out of this passage, this miracle story of Elisha and this boy. Let's ask the Lord to help us today. Our Father, we are thankful for your Son, Jesus Christ, and pray that He will get honor and glory to Himself today through the church coming together and meeting here at this time. And Lord, I pray that you'll speak to our hearts. Holy Spirit of God, if you would, please, have control of our thoughts, our minds. We yield ourselves to you. We need your word, God. We need its truth. We need its teaching. We need its instruction. And we need the power of God to help us get it done. And so would you please help me this morning to be under your control and speak to each heart here in the room today. And we'll thank you for it. In Christ's name I pray. And amen. A hen and a pig were talking in the barnyard one day. And the hen was so proud that she and the pig helped help the farmer and his family by, you know, supplying them with a breakfast every morning of ham and eggs. And she was just going on and on, and her enthusiasm about their supply of the farmer's breakfast was just very evident. But the pig was far less enthused than she was, and even a little sour in his disposition. And so the hen sensed his disposition and his lack of enthusiasm. And she said to him, she said, "What's the matter? Don't you enjoy being a blessing to the farmer?" And he looked at her and he responded in this fashion. He said, "You know what? It's easy for you to be excited, because for you, the breakfast is a contribution. For me, it's total commitment." And that's the honest truth when you stop and think about it. And so the hen was far more excited about the ham and eggs than the pig was. Now, on a more serious note, there are times in life when a contribution is not enough. When I face a situation, when you face a situation, where a contribution, as wonderful as it may be, it falls short. And the only thing that has a chance of working is total commitment. Contributions don't work. Total commitment is what's needed. Now, I don't have time this morning in detail to develop this story like it needs to be developed, and I'll just have to give you an overview, and many of you are already somewhat familiar with what happened here. A woman and her husband, who were childless, had been promised a son by the prophet Elisha. They had been kind to him and had made a place in their house for him to rest and sleep, spend the night when he was on his journeys by their way. And they made that's where we get the term prophet's chamber even today. Churches will have a little room with a bed and refrigerator and bathroom. And if a preacher is traveling or a missionary, sometimes they can stop by and use it free of charge. It's called the prophet's chamber. This is where they got the whole concept of the prophet's chamber. They made a little bedroom for Elisha. And he wanted to do something for the couple to show his appreciation. And, you know, he kept trying. And like most people, you want to show your appreciation? It's kind of, no, don't worry about it. Until one day his servant Gehazi pointed out to him that she had no child. She was childless. And her husband was old. And so Elisha called for the woman, and he told her, he promised her a son, and she couldn't believe it. But, you know, the truth of the matter is, she conceived a son, and she gave birth to a baby boy at the time that Elisha had said. So that's what happened. So the child grew, and one day the boy was out working with his dad in the field, and he suffered what must have been either an aneurysm or a sunstroke. The Bible says he grabbed his head. He said, "My head, my head." And the dad said, "Carry him to his mother." And so they took the boy into his mother. And the Bible says that the boy sat upon her knees until noontime, and he died. And when he died, the mother took the boy's lifeless body to the room of the prophet Elisha. And she laid the body of the boy on Elisha's bed. And then she went to get Elisha. So she went looking for him. And she found Elisha and told them, and Gehazi, and told them that her son had died. Now in verse number 29, you read where Elisha, we didn't read this with Brother Bragg, so look at it. Verse 29, Elisha says to Gehazi, "Gird up thy loins and take my staff in thine hand and go thy way. If thou meet any man, salute him not. And if any salute thee, answer him not again. And lay my staff upon the face of the child." So he said, "Hey, Gehazi, run fast and take this staff and lay it on the face of the child." Well, in verse number 30, he does that. Verse number 31, Gehazi does that. He lays the staff on the face of the child. But look what it says. There was neither voice nor hearing. So the staff did nothing. And then in verses 32 through 35, Elisha came himself. When he sent his staff with his servant Gehazi, that boy's mother did not leave. She said, I'm not leaving. I want you to come. I'm not leaving till you come. And so he came. Now here's the staff laying on the dead body. The boy's in his bed. And he takes the staff off the child, and Elisha himself lays on the dead body. The Bible said he put his hands on the dead boy's hands, and he put his mouth on the dead boy's mouth, put his eyes on the dead boy's eyes. He laid there, and the boy sneezed. And then he got up, and he walked around a little bit, and he came back, and he stretched himself again on the dead boy's body, and eventually that boy came back to life. It was a miracle. One of the 16 miracles that God had Elisha to perform. It was an unbelievable miracle. This dead boy was raised back to life. And the birth of the boy was a miracle in and of itself. And then to have the boy raised back to life was another miracle on top of that. And this one I want to ask some questions this morning along the line of when nothing less than total commitment will work. When nothing less than total commitment will work. Let me ask some questions this morning based on this story. Question number one. It's a very simple question. It's not pleasant, but I'm going to ask it. What has died? What has died? In this case, the boy had died. So I'm asking this morning, what has died in your life? Now, it may not be a person. It may be your relationship to God. I'm not saying that you've lost your salvation. I don't believe the Bible teaches that you can lose your salvation. But I'm talking about the realness. I'm talking about the freshness. I'm talking about the vitality of a vibrant, close relationship with God. Has that died where for weeks or even months now, you know, the Bible has been dull, prayer has been neglected, messages that you hear preached go in one ear and out the other. The heart is never stirred. The conscience is never pricked. There's never any moving of the Spirit of God in you. The songs, you know, fall flat. Other people are singing with enthusiasm. He lives. He lives. Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. You ask me how I know He lives. He lives within my heart. But it's just words to you. Just words. There's nothing there. It's just kind of empty. It's kind of dead. And the words come out of your mouth, but they don't come out of your heart. And it's not that you've lost your salvation. It's not that God has lost any interest in you. It's just the relationship that at one time had some vibrancy, had some life, had some animation is dead. What has died? Your marriage relationship? No communication of heart and soul? No being heirs together of the grace of life? Two people living two lives, two existences in one house? There's just really no harmony. There's no affection. There's no real depth of relationship. The marriage has just kind of flatlined, to use a medical term. Is that what has died? Your marriage relationship? What is that? It's not a fun thing to think about. What has died? Your relationship with your church? There's no thrill. There's no looking forward to getting there. There's no enthusiasm. Whatever act of service is just obligation. It's just duty. What has died? What has died? Has hope for a certain situation in your life to improve? You had hope that this would change, that this would improve. And for a long time, that hope burned brightly in your breast. But now it's snuffed. What has died? You see, folks, none of those things are very easy to talk about. None of those things are nice to talk about. But you know what? Those things happen. Just like this boy died. And nobody likes to even think about a child dying. But it happens. Happens. Happens physically. And these things that I've talked about this morning, whether it's your relationship with God, your relationship with your spouse, a relationship with a child, or a relationship between a parent and a mom or a dad, or some hope or some your church experience, you know, things like that take place in this life. They're not enjoyable to talk about, not even enjoyable to think about, but things die. So what has died? What has died? I have a second question to ask from this story this morning. Number two, what are you contributing to it? To bring it back to life. What are you contributing to it? You know what Elisha did? He sent his staff. The woman came running to Elisha. They saw her coming from a distance, and boy, they even said, you know, she's got a problem. She wouldn't be like this. And she fell upon her knees, and she said a few things to Elisha. She said, my boy is dead. And Elisha sent his staff. He handed his staff to his trusted servant, and he sent it his trusted servant with tremendous urgency. He said, Gehazi, if you meet somebody on the way, do not speak to them. And you keep moving. And if you meet somebody on the way and they speak to you, don't you stop to answer. You keep going. You don't stop for anything. You get moving and you get this staff. It was sincere. It was urgent. It was his own staff. It belonged to Elisha. And hadn't God used things? Didn't Elisha read where God had used Moses' rod? Didn't Elisha himself pick up Elijah's mantle just two chapters earlier and walk to the Jordan River? Bow, and it parted using the mantle. Doesn't God use things? Yes, God uses things. But people, when difficulties arise in our life, you know what our response is sometimes when things die, be it our relationship with God, our relationship to our spouse or a child or something in our life that we had great hope for? When it dies, it seems often we urgently begin to throw things into them to improve the situation. Maybe it's money. Maybe it's I'll work harder. Maybe it's flowers. Maybe it's putting a little more money in the offering plate or going out to eat once or twice a week as opposed to once a month. Or it's a surprise gift or some new thing that we know will surely help this thing come back to life. But can I tell you what happened? Gehazi laid Elisha's contribution on that dead boy's body. And nothing happened. You read it in verse number 31. We read there with Brother Bragg just a moment ago. There was neither voice nor hearing. The child didn't move. He didn't breathe. He didn't blink an eye. And Gehazi went back to Elisha and he said, the child is not awake. The contribution was not enough. The thing did not do the job. And too often people, our remedy for bringing life to that which has died is not enough because it's only a contribution. A husband says, I got to go get my wife some flowers. I'm not against getting your wife flowers. But I want to tell you something, sir. If your relationship with your spouse has died, it's going to take more than an inanimate flower. Well, I don't understand her. I took her out to eat. Or, you know, my relationship, or I fixed his favorite meal. Or parents say to their children, look at what I bought you. Look at what I got you. And it's some contribution. A Christian says, I don't understand it, Lord. I go to church. I even put a little money in the plate. I even do this and that. It's like we expect these inanimate things to produce life. Folks, it's difficult for things that are destitute of life to produce life. Are you with me this morning? He's made a contribution. Here's my staff. Quick, run, put this thing on this dead boy. Well, the staff didn't work. So the situation is no better. The child is not awake. And people, there comes a time in my life, there comes a time in your life when if things die, or even let me just say this morning, if they're in the process of dying and you know it. You know, I don't want to be graphic and insensitive this morning, but in the ministry, you get to the hospital at times when death is in the room. You hear the death rattle. It's not pleasant. And maybe there's something in your life you can hear the death rattle right now. It's not die, but it's dying. And friend, if you ever wake up to that reality, their contributions won't get the job done. Contributions don't bring death to life, back to life. They don't do that. Things, throwing things at it, do not restore. Inanimate objects do not bring dead things back to life. What has died? What are you contributing to it? And here's my third question. It's going to take me a little longer to answer. Have you tried total commitment? Have you tried total commitment? Because there are some things in life, when they die, they're not going to be restored with a thing. When they die, it takes total commitment. And this is what Elisha had to do. Gehazi brought the staff. Maybe he left the staff lying on the boy. I guess I didn't read that part of the Scripture close enough. Maybe it doesn't say. But he comes into the bedroom and he shuts the door and he lays his body on that boy's body. You see, the staff worked nothing. The staff would not work. There was no substitute for Elisha. There was no substitute for total commitment. There was no substitute for him giving of himself to the situation wholeheartedly. And I'm telling you this morning, if anything has died in your life of the things that I've talked about today, whether it be your relationship with God individually, just your walk with God, your relationship with your spouse, your church, your child, your parent, some hope in your life that you've hung on to for years and know that God's going to change it, but now it's just flatlined. You're not going to resurrect that thing, friend, with a contribution. There are times when nothing less than total commitment will work. Nothing less. And you say, well, what do you do? What is total? It's right here in the story. Let me show it to you. What did Elisha do in the way of total commitment? Well, verse number 33 tells us that he had special prayer just for the boy. Don't miss this. Look at verse number 33. He went in, therefore, and I love this part. Oh, man, sometimes we read these phrases too fast. He went in, therefore, and shut the door upon them twain. He shut the door. He went into the house. He went to his little prophet's chamber. He saw the boy lying there completely breathless, dead. The staff had not worked. He turns and he shuts the door and he prayed unto the Lord. He and the boy were in the room. He closed him, watch it. He closed himself and the situation behind shut doors and he prayed. You know what this is, people? This is specified praying. This is targeted praying. This is not random praying. Something has died in your life and you're driving down the road saying, oh yeah, Lord, and by the way, would you please help with this? That's not that kind of praying. It's not the kind of praying that, you know, oh, Father, thank you for the day and the missionaries and bless the church and oh yeah, Lord, by the way, I sure need help with my wife. I sure need help with my husband. I sure need help. God, I just, you know, George, to help me in that. It's not random, just generic words. Elisha shut the door. And this is not with the radio playing and not with the cell phone buzzing. I so badly want to preach a whole message on America's new addiction. It's an addiction. It's an addiction as much as alcohol is an addiction. It's an addiction. We can't give God 60 minutes on Sunday morning. 60 minutes. It's an addiction. I'll say it again. It's an addiction. It's not praying with the cell phone over here buzzing every 2 minutes. Bing, whoop, whoop. Where, oh yeah, that's a text. Oh, that's an email. Oh, that's an alert. Oh, no. This is shutting it all out and on your face before God saying, oh, God, you've got to help me. It's targeted. It's specific. It's not some random generic, oh yeah, by the way. And I want to say, friend, this is quiet. This is alone. This isn't looking over your shoulder, you know, pray a few sentences and then check on Dan Rather or whoever it is. Whoever's on the news. Oh yeah, the lady on Fox News, the conservative station who's showing all of her legs. Good preaching, Brother Angel, on Sunday morning. Amen. That's good preaching. Oh, isn't that interesting? Oh, yeah, Lord. And by the way, I sure need some help with that. What's going on over there? Oh, my God. Lord, please. What are you talking about that, folks? He said, well, he didn't have television. He didn't have all that. I don't care. That Bible is as relevant today as it was back then. He shut the door. Don't you get it? He closed himself up with his problem. He said, well, what about work? What about responsibility? I know. But if you're gonna bring whatever has died back to life, you can't throw things on it that are inanimate and bring death back to life. It takes total commitment. You've got to give some time to praying about it. Praying about it. Targeted praying, alone praying, quiet praying, specific praying. Shut yourself up with the Lord of heaven and earth and start to pray about it and get to praying about it. And one of the indications that we have given up on something is when we just quit praying about it. And as a pastor counseling people, you almost are intimidated to say, have you prayed about it? Oh, yeah, you know, I prayed one time about that. Oh, I see. God has to operate according to your calendar. It almost intimidates a counselor. Have you prayed about it? Oh, come on. But what? No, friend. Don't you give up on prayer to an almighty big God that can bring death back from life back from death. You know, I love the song we sing once in a while. Prayer is just as big as God is. Prayer is just as strong as God is strong. Prayer can reach as far as God can reach. Don't ever give up. Just pray. Hey, just. But it's not driving down the road, looking at the TV, over your shoulder, listening to the cell phone, listening for beeps. It's targeted, quiet, get myself alone, and get my mind and heart fixed on the God of heaven who can get this situation resolved. Special prayer was just for the boy. Special prayer was just for the boy. What else did Elisha do in this instance here? Giving total commitment. Number two, he gave special personal attention just for the boy. Special personal attention just for the boy. Look at verse number 34. And he went up and lay upon the child and put his mouth upon his mouth, his eyes upon his eyes, and his hands upon his hands. And he stretched himself. He stretched himself upon the child. I love the wording of that verse. Stretched himself. I'm not stretching myself. And I'm not expending any personal energy. But you begin to stretch yourself. That's expending energy. Personal energy. He gave personal commitment to the situation. And folks, bringing life to something that has died requires us to put our energy into it, our thought, our words, our touch, our warmth, our laying ourselves down, our laying our lives down. And when Elisha personally gave attention to that boy, the boy's flesh became warm. What does that mean? There was a response. There was a response. Wouldn't that be wonderful? Wouldn't it be wonderful if your relationship with God is kind of flatlined? Wouldn't it be wonderful to someday, after you've given some prayer time and attention to it, to be driving down the road and put a CD on, somebody start to sing some old song, and before you know it, your heart's overflowing. And you're rejoicing, and as the warmth has come back, and you sense that, you know what? I do know God, and God does know me, and this relationship can have life, and can have. Wouldn't it be wonderful to have some warmth in the marriage relationship again? Wouldn't it be wonderful to have some warmth in the parent-child relationship again? Hey, I saw something on Friday night that blessed my heart beyond anything else that happened in the 2 days I was there. The championship game was over, and I saw a boy off one of the teams. I was just standing. I wasn't looking for it. I was just standing there waiting for the award ceremony, and this took place right to my left. I wasn't eavesdropping. It took place right in front of me. One of those boys that poured his heart out on the basketball floor during the game came over and found his dad. His dad had come to the game. It was obvious his dad had worked hard all day. His dad looked haggard. His dad looked tired. His dad looked worn. But he was there. And that boy hugged his dad's neck and said, "Dad, thank you so much for coming." And that boy said, "Son, I wouldn't have missed it. I wouldn't have missed it. Congratulations." I thought to myself, you know what? There's a warm father-son relationship. You say, "Mine has no warmth." It can. It can. But it's going to take more than a baseball. It's going to take more than a scooter. "Look, son, look what Dad bought for you." It's going to take you. It's going to take you, Mom. It's going to take you, wife. It's going to take you, husband. It's going to take us. Total commitment. Total commitment. That relationship that has grown so cold, that relationship that has grown so flatlined and is just barely on life support, it can have warmth again. But contributions don't create warmth. Total commitment does. Total commitment. So he gave some personal attention to the boy. That relationship needs animation. It needs life. It needs something that has life. It needs you. It has to have you. God's big enough. God is able. Give special personal attention, special prayer. And then let me say, lastly, number 35, what else did Elisha do when it came to total commitment? He had special perseverance just for the boy. Look at verse 35. I love this. So the child, in verse 34, his flesh waxes warm, right? Verse 35, then he, Elisha, returned and walked in the house to and fro and went up and stretched himself upon him, and the child sneezed 7 times and the child opened his eyes. Now watch it here. When that child's flesh waxed warm, Elisha didn't say, "Oh, wow, that's great," and walk away. No. When that child's flesh waxed warm, he went downstairs or some other place in the house, and he worked himself and he walked. The Bible says to and fro, doesn't it? In verse 30, he walked to and fro in the house. What's he doing? He's been laying still on that boy. And that boy's starting to show life. And so I'm not going to walk away at the first sign of life. At the first sign of this situation changing, I'm not going to say, "Well, that was easier than I thought." So I can go right back to a comatose state again. No. He walked in the house to and fro. I can see him taking some deep breaths. What's he doing? He's restoring his own energy. He's restoring his own liveliness, if you will. His own vitality, reinvigorating his own organs with fresh air. And then he goes up and he closes the door and he lays down again. And he persevered until the child sneezed. One time? Two? Oh, I know. 7 is just a Bible word that was thrown in there, right? No, 7 is the number of what? Completion. Sneezed 7 times, and the boy stood up, and Elisha presented him alive. And to the boy was back to life. What was dead had come back to life. Too many times, we get something warmed up only to ease up, take our foot off the gas, and it goes right back to where it was. What's difficult to do when you try to help people? Many times, I'll take out a card, a little piece of paper about this size, this big right here. I'll write 4 or 5 things on it. If it has to do with somebody's personal relationship with God, I'll write 3, 4, or 5 things on it. If it has to do with a marriage, I'll write 3, 4, or 5 things on it. If it has to do with a child, write 3, 4, or 5 things on there. This is what you need to do. "Oh, can I have that?" Yeah, I want you to have it. I'm giving it to you. It's not hard to get them to go home and do that for a week. Maybe even a month. But 4 months later, Oh, by the way, the situation hasn't changed either. It warmed up for a while, then went back comatose. I want this to change. Total commitment. Total commitment. Not a staff. Not a vase of flowers. That may be factored into it. Not a night out or a weekend away. That may be factored into it. But friend, there are times when contributions won't work. And it takes total commitment. When a situation begins to change, begins to warm up, it's not time to walk away and watch it return to how it was before. Man, it's time to persevere. Renew your own vitality, your own energy, and throw yourself into the situation wholeheartedly. And folks, can I say this? It stands to reason, although this isn't necessarily in the passage this morning, it stands to reason that if these three things, praying for this boy, personal attention, and special perseverance, if these three things bring life from death, they probably will work to keep things from dying. Wouldn't you think? So why wait until it dies? You say, preacher, things are just so going, just spiraling out of control. And I guess when it hits the bottom, I'll start doing... No. No. These things will help it revive. But why wait? Start now. Start now. The contribution won't work. Total commitment will. By the way, listen very carefully. Isn't this a good picture of what Jesus did for us? Because you and I were dead in our trespasses and sins. Dead. And in order to bring life from death, Jesus did not send Michael. Jesus did not send Gabriel. He came Himself. And He took, watch it, Hebrews, in His own body, our sins to the tree. He bore it Himself. He took the load. He took the burden. Special attention. Special attention. I believe even special prayer, because I believe in the garden when He said, Father, nevertheless, not my will be done. He was saying, God, I don't want to die here. I want to get to the cross. And special attention was given to us. He died. He shed His blood. He was buried. He rose again the third day. He gave personal, total commitment to save our lost souls. And if you're not saved this morning, the first thing you need to realize is that Jesus loved you enough to come to this old world personally and bear your own sins and His own body to the cross and die for them and shed His blood so that you could be free. And if you have been saved and you are facing a dying situation or you are in a situation that has flatlined, if you care anything about it at all. And I guess that's the first step. It's almost getting people to even admit it. Even care about it. But if you care about it at all, contributions won't work. It's total commitment. Total commitment. Special prayer. Special personal attention and special perseverance. Keep it up. Keep it up. When I got saved back in Tennessee, the man who taught me how to witness for Christ and be a soul winner was named Tony Keelan. Tony Keelan showed me how to witness to people. Became a close friend. I went off to Bible college. He came to visit me. He said, man, I think I'll just stay the night. I said, where are you going to stay? He said, in your dorm room. I said, what, man? He said, I'll stay under the bed. So, before my roommates got in there, we got Tony in there, got him under my bed. He spent the night. We waited until the roommates were gone. We got him out. He said, you did that? That ain't the half. You had to have a little bit of craziness in Bible college to maintain your sanity. That was a Baptist city. No, that's no joke. I never forget when Tony called me one day. He said, hey, brother. He said, you won't believe what just happened. He said, you remember Pastor Strickland's dad lived over in West Virginia. Pastor Strickland was always so burdened about his dad being lost. I said, yes. He said, God put it on my heart to pray and fast for that man, to go see him and witness to him. I forget how long Tony fasted, but he left Tennessee one Friday after work and he drove to West Virginia. He got to West Virginia late at night. He found a football field, public school football field. He went out there and laid on the public school football field all night. God help me, God help me. Got up the next morning, found Pastor Strickland's dad. Talked to him. Pastor Strickland had been so hard about things. Pastor Strickland's dad had been so hard about things. And when Tony witnessed to him, his heart broke. And he sweetly trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as his personal Savior. Got in the car, drove with Tony to Tennessee, and his son baptized him that Sunday morning. When are we going to believe anything about our God and how big He is and how powerful? If something has died, don't walk away from it. And don't throw a contribution at it. Total commitment. Total commitment. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you for the privilege to preach your book this morning and for the crowd that listened attentively. But now, Lord, we need you. We need you to really make the application right here in our own hearts. We need the application right now. I need it for me. These people need it for them. Please, God, may the moment not pass without your Spirit visiting us in power. It matters not that there was an outline. It matters not, God, that there was a story. What matters is that your Spirit is here to work in power. I pray this morning that veneer and polish and all that stuff that we put up as a facade will be stripped away. And I pray that we'll face reality. Speak to our hearts, oh God. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. I want to ask this morning, is there somebody who would say, Pastor, at some point through the course of this message, the Spirit of God spoke to me specifically in a specific, real way. I want to acknowledge that. He was kind enough to speak to me. I want to acknowledge that He did it. Would you lift a hand this morning, wherever you are sitting? God bless you. Amen. Thank you. Take your hands down. All right? Anybody else, Pastor? I should have raised my hand just then. I don't want to neglect it. If God spoke to me, I want to acknowledge it. Anybody else this morning? I see your hand. God bless you. All right. Special prayer. Special personal attention. Special perseverance. That's what it takes. Total commitment. Special prayer where you shut yourself up. Special personal attention. You can't throw things at it. You got to throw yourself into it. And special perseverance. Keep at it. You'll get discouraged, but keep at it. It may not respond immediately. Keep at it. It may just warm up. Don't walk away. Total commitment. Now, let me ask this question. Who would say, Pastor, I'm saved and I know it. If I died right now, I've trusted Christ as my Savior. I know heaven is my eternal home. If you can say that, would you slip your hand in the air, please, this morning, just as a testimony of that? Thank you. Is there anybody here who would say, I couldn't raise my hand just then. I don't know the things you just asked. I don't know if I'm on my way to heaven. I don't know if heaven is my eternal destiny or not. I don't have any idea. I could not raise my hand a moment ago. I'll raise it now. Say, I don't know that. Would you slip your hand up? I do not know that I am saved. I do not know it, that heaven is my home. Pray for me. Anybody like that? Side to side, front to back. Anybody that's been saved and you need to follow the Lord in believer's baptism and you want to be obedient to Christ, take that step. Today's the day to do it. Come down and see one of these fellows. Tell them you'd like to be baptized or we can talk to you about it. Or salvation. We'll talk to you about it. We have men to talk to men, ladies to talk to ladies, or teenage girls or boys, as the case may be. And then if God was kind enough to pass through your seat and really stir your heart this morning, would you give yourself to a moment of prayer at this altar? That may be the starting point for your total commitment. The starting point. Father, bless the invitation. I pray in Jesus' name. Let's stand, please. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. The ladies are playing the song of invitation. Would you come this morning? Would you come and give God a chance? Would you come? Just lay it on the altar again. Would you do that today? Just feel like something has died or is in the process of dying. I hear the death rattle. I smell some teenage boy, college-age young person wandered away from God. You say, there's no hope of me ever getting back to where... Oh, yeah, there is. Oh, yes. You're talking about a God that can bring life from death. Can restore, renew. Would you come?